The reading and preaching of God's Word tonight comes from 2 Corinthians. If you turn there in your pew Bibles and follow along as we read chapter 4, verse 16, through chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 4, verse 16, we rejoice that God has given us His complete Word, which is sufficient and clear and authoritative to guide us along the path of righteousness as we think about the blessings, the tangible blessings and assurances and comforts that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us as believers tonight. Beginning at verse 16, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." We'll end our reading of God's Word there tonight. Well, I don't know who said it, but someone once said that the power to persevere comes from gazing intently at what you cannot see. The power to persevere comes from gazing intently at what you cannot see. In some ways, that describes our Christian life. Because you may have noticed as you thumb through the pages of Scripture that while there are many blessings, many spiritual realities that we have come to know and enjoy already in Jesus Christ by faith, there are also realities, blessings that are still on the horizon that we only behold not with our physical eyes or with tangible experience, but with the eyes of faith. And perhaps chief among those is the inheritance of our resurrection bodies. Paul here is writing to the Corinthian Christians, and he's teaching them about how to follow Christ on a daily basis and to follow Him while still living in these bodies of ours that are dying, that are wasting away. Whether you are young or old, this is a reality we must all come to grips with. We are dying. Our bodies are running out. And as you get older, of course, you know this, you become more frail, more weak. Your strength does not last. We become vulnerable to illness and pain and suffering in the body. And we become more aware that our outer self is wasting away, and we long to put on that new resurrection body, but we do not have it yet. Paul is describing for the Corinthian Christians and for us the tension that we experience as believers on a regular basis. The tension between what is a reality and what we do not yet behold with our sight. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 says to the Colossians, "You have been raised with Christ." And yet we know we have not yet put on our resurrection bodies. The outer self is still wasting away. Christ will raise us with Him into His presence when He comes again at the end of the age. But right now we have to live in the tension of faith between the promise of those resurrection bodies and the full reality, which is not yet ours. Paul writes here to acknowledge that that tension between the promise and the reality can be tiring, can be wearying for us, but we must not become discouraged. We mustn't give up and become despaired or become bitter in the midst of our waiting, but rather the anticipation, the faith-filled hope of the completion of God's promise to give us those resurrection bodies, to replace our sin-worn bodies with those pure, sinless resurrection bodies. That is meant to spur us on in hope and confidence in the Lord. He calls us here to lift our eyes up in faith from the tension and look forward with resurrection hope to what God has already prepared for us as His children, to gaze intently on what we do not yet see, and to live right now in light of the glory of that promise. That's where Paul begins in this passage for us tonight. He begins by calling us to embrace the tension between what we already know and have through the promise of Jesus and that which we do not yet see, the reception of our resurrection bodies. And Paul here in this passage introduces several metaphors or word pictures to reveal that tension between our present life in this body and the life that we look forward to in the age to come. And he says, first of all, we are longing to remove or move on from the tent of our bodies to something else. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 5. "For we know," Paul says, "that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." What is this tent that Paul refers to here in verse 1? Well, that tent is a description of our human bodies. Our bodies that are gradually wasting away, and one day, if the Lord tarries, will die. Paul says earlier there in chapter 4, our outer self is wasting away. That's the tent that Paul describes here. Yet, Paul is not despairing here of this reality, that our outer self is wasting away. He has confidence. He has hope in the promise of Jesus Christ. The hope that even though our bodies are wasting away and will die one day, we have received something from God as believers that's far better and lasting than this present tent. And Paul's great assurance, his comfort, our great comfort and assurance tonight as well is this: we have a building from God. We have a better dwelling place. We have a resurrection body. In fact, it's so sure that Paul says, we have it. He doesn't say we're going to have it. He says we have it. Through Christ, that new resurrection body is as surely yours. It's as surely mine as if it was already part of our experience, already part of who we are. Why will it be better than our present body? Well, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the tent of our present earthly existence will be replaced by not another tent, but by a building. By a building from God. Many of you have shared with me that over this past spring break, you've gone to the beach and have camped with your family at the beach. And of course, after your time at the beach was completed, you didn't leave your tent there for someone else to use as a sort of rustic Airbnb, right? You didn't rent it off to the next person who came by. No, the tent is temporary. It's there for a short period of time, and then you pack up your belongings, you clean up your camp, you put all your gear away, and when you get home, you store it away for the next time you go on a camping trip. Tents are, by their very nature, temporary. They're not a permanent dwelling, but a building is built to stay put where it is erected. A building has footings, it has foundations. It's meant to stay as long as possible. It's permanent, far more permanent than a tent. And that's why Paul's rejoicing here, because he knows that the building of our future life with God, our heavenly dwelling, our resurrection bodies that we're going to receive from God by grace, will be permanent. They'll be lasting when we receive them on the day of Christ's return. They're going to be much better than the frail, temporary, transient bodies that we have now. He says in verse 1, they are going to exist eternal in the heavens. And that's why when we think about our resurrection bodies, we need to heed the apostle's reminder here in chapter 4, verse 18. He says, when you think about your Christian life, when your life with Christ, do not look to things that are seen, but look to the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen, including our present flesh, are temporal, they're transient. But the things that are unseen, that resurrection flesh which we've not yet received, are eternal. Focus your gaze there, on that better existence that God has prepared for you. He rejoices as well because our new resurrection bodies will not be handmade like some temporary tent, but they will be a spiritual creation. He says in verse 2, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. How can we be confident that God will give us this type of body? That's what we've been celebrating today and what we celebrate every Lord's Day. The certainty of the resurrection of Jesus' body. That's how we can know with certainty that we have this resurrection body in heaven, because Jesus is in heaven now with his resurrected body, and he's interceding for us. All we need to do is look to Jesus in heaven and know, based on the certainty of the apostolic word, that there lies for us, eternal in the heavens, a house not made with hands. And we have it. By faith. The one who raised Jesus from the dead is the same God who will raise us to life imperishable and give us this glorious gift of a resurrection body. Paul uses another metaphor here in the following verses here. He uses a clothing metaphor, again, to describe this tension between our present and future life. Paul says here, verse 2, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on, to clothe ourselves in our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Paul says, while we are in this earthly tent, this temporal body, we long to put on, we long to clothe ourselves in our heavenly dwelling. Our spiritual desire is not, he says, that we would be unclothed, as if our life, our eternal life with God, would be better if we had no bodies at all and we were simply disembodied spirits. No, he says, our longing is that we would be more fully clothed than we are now. There was an elderly man that I sat with at his deathbed in the hospital once, and his body was failing him. He was dying, and he knew it. He knew his time was short, and he was a believer, and I asked him, what are you looking forward to most? And he knew this passage, and he said, I'm looking forward to putting on my better clothes. I'm looking forward to putting on my better clothes. That's our desire as believers, not to cast off our bodies entirely as if they were somehow evil or lowly or base. We long as believers to be further clothed with our better, our new heavenly bodies at the final resurrection, so that Paul says, what is mortal, what is susceptible to death and decay and sin, may be swallowed up by everlasting life. Here Paul is describing one of the most beautiful mysteries of the Christian life, that God's promise to every one of his believers is that what we have now, our earthly tent, our mortal bodies, are going to be transformed, are going to be regenerated into a heavenly building, an everlasting body of life on the last day. We don't know a lot about those bodies. We're not told many details, but our heavenly bodies will be our bodies. They'll be like our earthly bodies, at least to the point that we can recognize them as being us, but with a significant makeover. On that last day, you and I will inherit the new you, which God has already prepared and promised. And so there is much to anticipate, even as we live in this tension between two kinds of clothing, two manners of existence, even as we long for our present weak, sinful condition to be overcome and swallowed up by God's resurrection power, even as we long to be further clothed by God, as we feel that tension, we can take hope. We can take comfort. We don't need to despair. Even as we groan for that new body that God has promised, our groaning is filled with hope because God's promise is sure. He will not withhold from any one of his children this wonderful promise of new resurrection life. We do not lose heart in the midst of the tension if we continue to gaze intently into the sure promise of God to give us what we do not yet see. And it's important, secondly, that we do that we believe the promise of God. If we are going to endure, if we're going to hold fast amidst the tension of this life, if we are going to honor God in our bodies now and get busy living for Him, we have to hold on to that promise of new resurrection life. And it is God Himself who kindles our trust in Him. We read in verse 5, going on in this chapter, that it's God Himself, the one who designed us, the one who built our heavenly dwelling. He's the one who has given us this longing, this desire for our heavenly home, our resurrection body. Look at me at verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing, for this resurrection flesh, is God, who's given us His Spirit as a guarantee. You see, God has not only prepared us for these heavenly dwellings, He's given us the desire to be more fully clothed, but God has also given us His Spirit in the meantime, to live within us, to kindle that longing. God has given us His Holy Spirit as a sure pledge of what He is going to do for each and every one of us in giving us that new resurrection body. Paul says the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. The Spirit is a down payment of the new age and of our total renewal. That word in modern Greek for guarantee is the word for an engagement ring. Boys and girls, you know what an engagement ring is. When a man gives the woman he loves an engagement ring and puts it on her finger, that's his pledge, his promise that he's going to marry her and give himself to her on their wedding day. It certifies that the man is going to fulfill his promise to marry the woman he loves. Well, God, out of His love, out of His grace, has given us a sure pledge, a guarantee that longing to clothe ourselves more fully with our resurrection body will certainly happen. There's no chance that it will fail to happen. And the Spirit at work within us is a guarantee of that. He is the one who assures us that the same power that was at work in the tomb of Jesus to raise Him from the dead, the same power at work within each and every one of us to breathe new life into us and to take us out of the deadness of our sin into the life of Christ, that same power of the Holy Spirit is at work preparing our mortal bodies for the completion of our redemption in Jesus Christ. The Spirit is a guarantee, a down payment, a deposit, assuring us every day that God is faithful to His promise to finish the work that He started in us. The Spirit is a source of hope as we wait. By His Spirit, God encourages us to lift our eyes up from the suffering, from the disappointment of this present life, and to look forward in hope to all that God has prepared for us. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction, the temporary struggles and pains and disappointments and grievances that we have now, are preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul says the sufferings of this life, Peter says the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing to the glories that are to come. But even if we believe this promise, the tension can be exhausting, can't it? We are tempted at times to lose heart, to give up in the midst of the struggle, to forget God's promises, and to doubt that life's trials really have any purpose, any reason at all. The rest of our passage gives us reason for confidence right now in the present life. To press on through the trials, to press on through the struggles that we experience in this flesh, and to live with the time that we have left in these bodies, these mortal bodies, to live for the God who has saved us. Look at me at verses 6 through 10. Paul speaks here of an unshakable confidence and a courage that never spoils or fades, even before the judgment seat of God Himself. He says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Paul says, even though we are presently absent from the Lord, and we are still at home in these bodies that ache to put on the new flesh, still we can be of good courage. We are called here to walk in faith in the realities of our salvation in Jesus Christ, looking with the eyes of faith upon the promises of God, rather than stumbling through life and through the cares of this earthly pilgrimage by trying to bolster ourselves with what we see with our physical eyes. As Paul says, what we see will not lead us onward, but will cause us to stumble and fall. What we see is brokenness. What we feel is weakness. What we struggle with is doubt and anxiety. But when we watch, when we look with the eyes of faith, then we see things as they really are. When we see with the eyes of faith, we understand, like Paul does, that we don't have any reason to worry that the outer man is wasting away, because we see the unseen. We see with the eyes of faith that though we are wasting away physically, at the same time, our inner self, our inner nature is undergoing daily renewal by the work of the Holy Spirit, who is conforming us to the will of His Son, who's preparing us to be presented to God as beautiful, as washed, as pure through the blood of Jesus Christ. Knowing that affects the way we live right now. Knowing that even though our bodies are wasting away, we're being renewed daily by the Holy Spirit, affects how we use our bodies right now, as we await the resurrection of the dead. If we know that we belong to the Lord and that He's renewing us internally every single day, we will use our bodies to honor God instead of wasting our time and wasting our bodies on frivolous and harmful passions and habits. If we know that, we will use our bodies in the service of others, tiring ourselves to bring the gospel to the nations, to serve our neighbors with a helping hand, and to witness to the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. If we know that though our bodies are wasting away, we are being renewed inwardly daily, we will value our time and our gifts and use them only for the Lord. We will use our lives in worship of the Lord, living in the hope of what God promises to do. We will live as those who know that we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Although our future manner of life will be better than this present earthly existence, the certainty of the coming of heavenly glory encourages us all as believers to prepare now by the way we live, to enjoy, to take on our new clothes and our new home. And so these realities give us confidence. They give us courage as we look to the future while busily living now to praise our glorious resurrected Christ. Every one of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of God, and every deed that we have performed in the body, whether good or bad, will come under the scrutiny of God's just and perfect standard. Praise God, for on that day we will face the judgment bench of God as His saints. And we will not be condemned, but we will be welcomed into God's presence for the sake of Jesus Christ. In light of that glorious promise and reality, we should get busy living thankful, obedient, distinctly Christian lives now. Truly, Paul says, we live in the midst of the tension between this age and the age to come. But how comforting, how assuring to know that even if we are being given over to death for the sake of Christ, even if now for a while we must suffer the decaying effects of sin in this life, we can focus our gaze away from this to the resurrection promises of God and their reality in our lives. Praise God that we can confess, in the words of Heidelberg Catechism, answer 52, in all my distress and persecution, with uplifted head, I confidently await the very judge who has already offered himself to the judgment of God in my place and has removed the whole curse from me. Christ will cast all his enemies and mine into everlasting condemnation, but will take me and all of his chosen ones to himself, into the joy, into the glory of heaven. That is our comfort. That is our assurance, even as we live in this present tent. Cast your eyes upon those things which we do not yet see. Gaze intently upon the promises of God, and he will sustain you. He will bring you through, and you will inherit one day that glorious resurrection body. Let's thank him for that together. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that all of your promises, including the promise of a new, restored, remade body existing eternal in the heavens, that promise too is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that on this Resurrection Sunday, we can think very practically about what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for us. It is not simply something we celebrate once a year. It is something that we are to take with us and gaze upon intently every single day of our lives so that we do not fall prey to bitterness or fear or discontent. Help us, O Lord, to look beyond our present circumstances, to look beyond the frailties and the sufferings of this present life, and to gaze upon the beauty of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, who is in heaven with his resurrected, glorified body, and who is there as a certain pledge, given also by the Holy Spirit, that one day we too will take on our resurrection bodies and join him in the glory of our purpose to dwell with God and to worship him in all glory and in all perfection. Lord, hold us up in the midst of the tension of this life. May these promises always be before our eyes. Help us to believe them. Take away our doubt. Lead us forward as we seek to live for you now in light of the glories of eternity. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.